I believe beyond a shadow of a doubt that 2017 is going to be an unprecedented year for our lives. We are at our first week of 21 days of consecration, and as Pastor Lloyd has said on Friday night, man, we had a powerful time in the presence of God in prayer here. 2017 is going to be different. There's going to be some new things we're going to start here at chapel, and I'm going to be talking about that here in a few moments. But I believe that God is calling us as a church deeper into our walk with Him. There's some of us in here that need to redig some wells that we've allowed dirt to fill in. But then there's some of us in here that need to dig some brand new wells that we've never dug before. It's easy to, I said this last week, it's easy to get on to someone else's wave of vision of the moving of the Holy Spirit and just sort of fall into the wake of what they're doing. But there's nothing more gratifying and satisfactory than finding your own. We are a Spirit-filled church. We are a church that believes in the moving of the Holy Spirit in a in decency and in order. There's some of us in here that may have never experienced that before. You've never received the baptism of the Holy Spirit as is shown in the book of Acts, in Acts chapter 1 and Acts chapter 2, where it describes it and all throughout the book of Acts. But you cannot live the overcomer's life without it. But then there's some of us in here that have been around this all of our life, that it's about time we just turn that engine over again and get going once again. And you know who you are and what God is talking to you about. But the cliche is, if you always do what you've always done, you'll always get what you've always gotten. But when you do, but either what you've never done or you haven't done in a long time, you'll get what you desire more than anything else. And we're at that place right now as a church. And towards the end of last year, on into this year, God has really been dealing with Pastor Lloyd and I and our lead team and others here at chapel that you know, doing as we have done has been great, but God is saying, look, it's time for us to move to another place. It's time for us to reopen some wells. And I know that is a scriptural term, and if you are a guest here today, that is a reference to the in the Bible that talks about where they drew water from, because in the Old Testament, and while they wandered, they dug wells in order to draw water to supply the needs not only of their families but of their livestock and so forth. And so it is likewise, the Bible says that He is the living water. And so when we talk about digging wells, it's digging things in God that bring unto us that living water that we need to survive. Amen. Amen. Getting into my message today. Last week I shared two powerful and very, very important scriptures on vision. If you weren't here last week, I implore of you and ask of you to go by the foyer, pick up one of the handouts for last week, and go on and listen to last week's message. We talked about vision. But last week we talked about two scriptures, probably the two most famous or most known scriptures in the Word of God about vision. Proverbs chapter 28 and verse 19. The King James Version says, where there is no vision, the people perish. The Message translation of that is, if people can't see what God is doing, they stumble all over themselves. But when they attend to what He reveals, they are most blessed. The vision that God is giving to us as a church and to you as an individual, and I talked about that last week, is it is important for you and I to have a personal vision, not just a corporate vision. You need to have a vision for your personal life in order to live the blessed life that God has for you. The second passage of scripture that we talked about last week, it's in the Word of God, is Habakkuk chapter 2. This is at the towards the end of the Old Testament, one of the minor prophets. It's one of those that it's hard to find in your Bible because there's a whole bunch of short books of the Bible towards the back. It's one of those. And verses 2 and 3 says, "And the Lord answered me and said, write the vision and make it plain upon tables that he may run that readeth it. For the vision is yet for an appointed time, but at the end it shall speak and not lie, though it tarry, wait for it." Tarry means that though it may not come immediately, you have to wait on it. Wait for it, because it will surely come. It will not tarry. In this time that you and I find ourselves in, and I'm going to read it from the Message translation in just a moment, but where you and I find ourselves at right now in 21 days of consecration, and if you have not joined us in it, there's some sheets out there that explains what consecration is and what prayer and fasting is. The Bible says, Jesus speaking unto the disciples said, when they came back having tried to perform the miraculous, he said, these things come not but by prayer and fasting. You want to overcome the things in your life, you've got to pray and fast. You want to live the victorious life, you have to push away from the table and from the things that you enjoy the most in life. And to some of us in this place, we've given up coffee. We've given up different kinds of food. We've given up certain things in our life. And it's not, you don't fast that which you do not like. You know, turnip greens, all right, you may not like them. Oh, I'm fasting those. You don't eat those anyways. You know, you don't like beets. You know, the foods that a lot of people don't like. You can't fast those things. Those things are things you never eat. Fasting is, it costs you something. See, let me break it down to you this way. Our salvation costs Christ a whole lot. Why do we think living for Christ is not going to cost us anything? Your paycheck, you get it every week. It costs you something. It costs you pain in the back. It costs you hurting hands. It costs you a hurting mind. It costs you, you know, tiredness. But yet at the end, when you receive that paycheck, you're like, man, I earned this. It's the same way with God, is that God says, look, I want it to cost you something. Not that you earn it. Please don't misunderstand that word there. Not that you earn it, because we cannot earn salvation. It's freely given to us. But yet when we push away, we prioritize God, and God says, man, I see what you're doing, so I want to bless you. The Message says it this way, and then God answered, write this. Write what you see. Write it out in big block letters so that you can read it on the run. This vision message is a witness pointing to what's coming. It aches for the coming. You know how it is when that baby's about to be born, you're so excited, you're like, yes, man, I can't wait. Or your bonus is about to come on your job, and you're like, woo, yes, I finally get that bonus. It's those things that you get excited about. It's the same way here, that when you and I push away from the comforts of life, the spirit inside of us becomes stronger, and it aches for fresh and new in our relationship with God. It can hardly wait, and it doesn't lie. If it seems slow in coming, wait. It's on its way. It will come right on time. Chapel's vision, rooted in Christ. We are rooted in Christ through seeking and through studying the Word of God. Our mission here at Chapel is to reach, or reaching our community. Rooted in Christ, reaching our community. And we reach our community by sharing and serving. There are the tree, and this is an awesome added piece that we have here at Chapel. But if you have been through Fresh Start, it's on that we talk about the tree and why is it that we use the tree model as what it is that you and I do. And I'm going to read directly out of the book that if you've been through Fresh Start, you've read this and you've seen this. If you have not, this is what it says. In the Bible, a tree is often used as an analogy for spiritual growth. In order to be healthy, a tree needs strategic planting, a healthy root system, and ability to overcome the elements, reaching for light and fruitfulness. At Chapel, we see the tree as a model for what a disciple looks like. What is happening in the root is evident in the fruit. Come on now. We was poets and didn't know it. What is happening in the root is evident in the fruit. Our ability to bless others is in direct proportion to our connection with the Lord. See, God didn't save you and I so that we can just check it off on the list and go like, yes, you know, I'm saved, I'm ready, He's called you and I to be bearers of fruit and to share what it is that God has done in us. Trees are remarkable for many reasons. Survival in harsh conditions, immense size, growth in unlikely places, and even their sheer beauty. A tree worthy of remark may have been passed over when it was a sapling, yet it's noticed more in its maturity. And that should speak to us right now. Remarkable Christians were once just seeds and saplings, yet they grew to be notable. Your impact as a believer grows over time because you survive or grow in some ways that gives God His intended glory. You are the planting of the Lord. That's why we use the tree model here at Chapel. Because it's an example of what God has planted you and I to be. Last week I talked of the importance of having a personal vision, not a just a corporate vision, but you as an individual child of God have to have your own personal vision. And we gave you steps and a process for this vision in your own life. If you missed it, please, as I said earlier, please go by and get one of the handouts and go online and listen to the message at chapelnorth.com and you can hear it. And it may even be beneficial to many of us in here to listen to it a few more times so that we can know what it is that God wants us to do. But today, I want to share with you the vision and mission for Chapel, specifically for this year of 2017. What I believe and what we believe as the lead team here at Chapel and as pastors, my wife and I feel so strongly about that this is a year that will take Chapel North, you and I, all of us, to the next and new level in our relationship with God. But not only that, but as a church as well. Amen. 3 years ago, we were blessed to move into this wonderful building. In fact, if you go by where the old property is, unless you knew where the building sat, you won't figure it out anymore because they've put in homes there. But God moved us and brought us 3 years ago to this new place. It was then our next and new level. From 4,300 square feet to just under 16,000 square feet, from just about 6 acres to close to 17 acres here at this place, and to God be all the glory. It's all because of Him. We've seen numerical growth here at Chapel. We've seen how our seats are becoming more and more full. And alone in 2016, we saw approximately 13% growth numerically here at Chapel. And why is it that numbers matter? Here's why, is because people count. People have value. People matter to the kingdom of God. And so we, you and I, cannot ever become so self-centered and self-focused that we are an inward-looking church, not looking at the world around us, not looking of how can we bless others. But it's all about me. We can become that. That's not what God called us to. That's not why God has saved you and I. But we must constantly be reaching, helping people grow in Christ and bringing people into, bringing those that do not know Christ into a place where they can have a crossing of paths with Jesus and surrender their life to them. You and I have been called to show them the way. You and I have been called to show them the way. It is probably most troublesome to God as He looks upon those that are His children, yet they never open their mouth to share the good news of salvation. I would imagine it hurts His heart as He looks upon many lives in Christianity today and even here at Chapel, that we may never open our mouth to share the Word of God with someone else, because we've checked it off in our life. I've made it, I've arrived, and I'm going to be faithful, and I'm going to be a tithe payer, and I may volunteer in something or I may not, but yet God looks at us and says, listen, I didn't call you, Herb, so that you be just a child of God, but you be a discipler, and you are. That's why I can pick on you. But that you be a discipler, not to warm a seat, not to try to get all the mess in your own life fixed. Let me let you in on a secret. When you begin to look upon the things that God, when you're about the Father's business, the Father will take care of your business. When you start to focus on outside of yourself, God will begin to fix those things in your life that torment you, that keep you awake, that give you nightmares, the things that are breaking up your family, the things that are breaking up your relationships. If you will focus on it, you want your children to come back to God, then start doing things for God that your children need done for them. See, parents in this room right now, and I know I've been on that a lot lately, but I just feel such a burden, because if we as parents do not teach these things to our children, a generation will be lost. You will have a spiritual abortion of your own child. And I hope that hits some of you God in the face. Because we need to realize that when we stand before God, guess what? You will be held responsible for those children. What did you teach them when they were in your care and in your home? It's not important to go to church. We'll just sleep in today. We don't feel like going to church. Really? God help me. Here's the thing. I don't want my children to get the idea that it's okay to sleep in just because I don't feel like it. Well, what if Jesus said, I just don't feel like dying on the cross for you today. Just don't feel like it. How would that be? You and I wouldn't be here today. I would have been shot. I would have been stabbed, more than likely dead, just like some of you in this room. You would have been dead by now because of the drugs that had you bound, because of the alcoholism that had you bound, because of the life that you live. But Jesus said, no, nevertheless, not my will be done, but yours. Our vision here at Chapel is we must be rooted in Christ and reaching our community. How do we reach our community? We do it through personal one-on-one relationships, community groups, and events throughout the year that create these opportunities for people to connect. We faithfully support monthly and even spontaneously missionaries around the world. People that are planting churches, missionaries here in the United States that are planting churches and ministering to people, and many other evangelism efforts. You and I must continue, and even greater than that must we do for the kingdom of God. See, here's the exciting part, and I know I was serious a minute ago, and I am very serious about that, but you know what's the most beautiful thing going to be? Is when we get to heaven and we're around the throne of God, worshiping, magnifying Him, and our kids are with us. And those people that we witness to are with us. That we see these men and these women that we went out of our way to talk to minister to. Listen, they come into our homes. If you have children, and you have sleepovers and they come to pick their kids up, they're in your home. You get the opportunity to share something with them about Christ. You go to their homes to pick up your kids. You have them on your jobs. They're your neighbors next door to you that you're just like, oh, they're just neighbors. No, they're not. They're people that inside are needing a Savior. They're needing a Savior. You and I must continue. We must continue to be the church that reaches beyond these four walls, looking for ways and opportunities to do so. In 2016, we were presented with the opportunity to network with some churches around here during Christmas time to serve the local community here. And what an opportunity it was. And thank you for all of you that responded, and we made it happen. In fact, so much so that every need that was presented to Chapel North during this Christmas time for this serve opportunity, we met every single one of those. That tree, if you remember, during Christmas time, during the December month, man, it was piled with stuff that was underneath there that thankfully to two wonderful ladies here at Chapel that spearheaded this, Cassie Ridgway and Shalise, both of them that stepped up and said, yeah, we'll do it. Thank you, Shalise. And Cassie's in with Rise right now. I mean, with the First Fruit. But thank you, Shalise, for doing that. Thank you, Chapel North, for reaching out and touching someone's life. Someone's month and year was made better because of your sacrifice. Thank you. Thank you. Jesus was all about ministering to the needs of people, body, soul, and spirit. You and I, we must follow the lead that Jesus set forth for us. We must follow after Him. So as your pastor, I do not seek to close the channels that flow through this church to minister to people's lives. I fear the day, if ever it were to come, that we keep everything to ourselves. That we hide it, that we become introverted and we become all about us. Like that old country song, it's all about me, it's all about my, it's all, no. It's not about that. It's about ministering to the life of someone else. It's about doing something just as Jesus did for me. It is my responsibility to do for somebody else. Not only those in our home, but those on our job, those that are in our neighborhoods, those that we come into contact with at the grocery store. You know what you could do when you're cashing out at the register at the grocery store? Ask that person how they're doing, and you never know what will come of that. They're like, why is it that you're smiling? Well, let me tell you about it. It's because of the God that lives inside of me, and you never know where that will lead, what will happen. And all it is God is looking for somebody to be right at this place that's willing to do what He wants us to do. And this right here that happened here this morning, you'll be doing that. You'll be calling up, oh, pastor, can we fill the baptistry up? I need to baptize somebody. Awesome, let's make it happen. Do you believe it? That you're calling going, hey, you won't believe what happened. Man, I was in the store and I got to talking to somebody. Next thing you know, it led into talking about God. And next thing you know, I talked to them about repenting before God and giving their life to Him. And they did it right there at that moment. They surrendered their life to Christ. They want to make a change. They want to give their life to Him. And you did it all because you were willing to do what God wanted you to do. We cannot become about ourselves. That being said, today I humbly stand before you as a blessed man, as a very blessed pastor of this church, grateful unto God that it was just over 5 years ago that God brought us to this place. You are an outstanding body of believers. We're prime set for what God wants us to do. We're right at the edge. I've been feeling it so strongly, and we have, and others here at Chapel, been feeling that, man, we're right at that edge of where God's wanting to just, man, just do some awesome things here at Chapel. Do you believe it? We're right there. So on this day, the 15th day of January, I write this vision to make it plain so that you and I, we may run with it, because it is certainly coming here at Chapel. Today I want to introduce or reintroduce something to us at Chapel that we did in our old building called Planting for Our Future. This is specifically for this year. And ushers, if you would start passing those out, please. And I'll just wait a moment as they pass this out. They'll have a packet of them. It's one per family. If you'll grab one and pass the others down. And I'm going to read through this with you. So if you would, just be patient with me for just a moment. And I'll explain this to us. Thank you. Front of it, what a beautiful job that Randy did, capturing many pictures of things that go on here at Chapel North, and that is so cool. Thank you. On the front, you find the different ministries that we have here at Chapel, but if you flip it over, at the top it says, Planting for the Future. Almighty oaks come from small acorns. Acorns are so easily crushed under the foot of man. They are small, weak, frail, and the most and to most insignificant. Yet when the potential of the acorn is acknowledged and planted, something changes. First a twig, then a small tree. Ultimately, a mighty oak stands tall because someone planted an acorn. Acorns have been planted here at Chapel, and growth is apparent. What God wants to trust us with in 2017 is dependent upon our investment and sacrifice. In order to fulfill the vision, the 2017 vision and mission of Chapel, we invite and encourage you to financially sow into the events and missions budget, helping us fulfill Rooted in Christ, reaching our community. And underneath that, there is a description of different options and so forth that are there. And I'm going to talk about the right side of that page in just a moment. But if you would turn your attention back to me, and then we'll get back into that in just a minute and explain everything to you about that. In Acts chapter 6, which is the historical account of the birth of the New Testament church throughout the book of Acts, it says in verse 1, and Grace will put this up on the screen for us. It says, "Now in these days when the disciples were increasing in number, a complaint by the Hellenists arose against the Hebrews because their widows were being neglected in the daily distribution. And the 12 summoned the full number of the disciples and said, 'It is not right that we should give up preaching the word of God to serve tables. Therefore, brothers, pick out from among you 7 men of good repute, full of the Spirit and of wisdom, who we will appoint to this duty, and we will devote ourselves to prayer and to the ministry of the word.' And when they said, and what they said pleased the whole gathering, and they chose Stephen, a man full of faith and of the Holy Spirit, and Philip, and Prochorus, and Nicanor, and Timon, and Parmenas, and Nicholas, a proselyte of Antioch. These they set before the apostles, and they prayed and laid their hands on them." And verse 7 is what I want to really focus in on here right now, and I'm going to talk about the other part for just a moment. But, "And the word of God continued to increase, and the number of the disciples multiplied greatly in Jerusalem, and a great many of the priests became obedient to the faith." We find ourselves as a church at the season. It is a very similar place that the book of Acts found himself at. And for that reason, it is that today, and after much prayer and discussion with the leadership here at Chapel, we felt to present this to our Chapel family. Because Jerusalem, or in the New Testament church, in the book of Acts, they found themselves at a place where the church was growing, where things were being increased, and the disciples who had began by being those that served the tables and did everything that needed to be done, finally realized that they could not help the church get to the next place if they didn't have others to help serve and do the daily responsibilities of the church. And I feel, and in preparation for this, felt God drop this passage of scripture into my life, and I was a little shocked by it, because we're not looking for men and women to step up to the plate to be those that serve, though we are, and I'll talk about that in a moment, but primarily in doing this planting for our future presentation, is God is asking us as a church to step to a new place in our walk with Him, to become like these 7 men that were chosen in order to see what verse 7 talks about. "And a great many of the priests," and are backing up, "and the number of disciples multiplied greatly in Jerusalem, and a great many of the priests became obedient to the faith." It is interesting, that last portion right there, because when it's talking about many of the priests, these were those that were obedient to the Old Testament. And because of the church being willing to step up to the next level, God began to deal with the hearts of men and women who were steeped in tradition. He began to deal with these men, priests primarily, which is talked about here, that were very bound up by the traditions of that day and time. And likewise, it is that God is talking to you and I in this room, that He's calling you and I in this church to step up to the next level in our walk with God, so that we can allow for the space to be provided for God to multiply the disciples in a great fashion. How many say amen? We are finding ourselves in a very similar challenge we found ourselves at in the old building on Tussock Street, space. The need for space is evident. We have begun the conversation with our lead team about growing into 2 services. Come on, Shalise, I'm glad you like that. Yes, Shalise got it. In going into 2 services. And some of you are going, great, yeah. But here's the thing, is looking at that opportunity. How many more of us can there be in here? How many more of us that are in here? And I could go around this room and call names of people of you that are in here, that your story of life, we need more people with your kind of story. Bruce, we need more Bruces who used to be brawlers and fought drugs for 30 years and alcoholism. We need more Bruces in here. And I know he's here, he must be working somewhere. But Tim Thompson, that sits over here on this side, made a statement, I'll never darken the door of another church. We need more Tims that say, I'll never go into church again. But yet they find themselves here. He's in kids. He's working with kids today. We need more of that. We need more John Browns that when they play the guitar, they worship. Man, I'm watching John up there. I'm like, well, man, that's awesome. We need more of us in this place right here. So we've been talking about it, and I don't know what it is, but over the last few weeks, my wife and I have had encounters with people that are just like going, you guys aren't in two services yet? We're like, no. They're like, man, what are you waiting on? I'm like, oh no. We're having the conversations. We're talking about it. We need the space. We're willing to take the leap of faith, providing more room right here for you and I to grow. For some of us in this room to step to that next level in our world. We're going to need more ushers. We're going to need more greeters. We're going to need more singers and musicians, more Sunday school teachers, more people helping out with Rise. We're going to need these kind of things. And God is saying to you and I, you're here right now at this place. Amen. The lead team is working very hard to expand our teams, to grow and develop those that God has blessed him with, and to accommodate two services. In the coming months, we're going to be sharing more of these plans in detail with you. It is going to require a step out of our comfort zone to serve in areas that maybe we don't feel passionate about. God hit my wife and I the other day in this book that we're reading about this passion thing. We always push people. We're like, we want you to feel, want you, whatever you're passionate about, we want to fit you into that place so that you're motivated to do it. But here's what hit us. Is that we need to be passionate about Jesus Christ, and whatever place we need to fall into, that's fine. It's serving the kingdom of God. Well, I just don't like children, but guess what? We need somebody to teach Sunday school. Well, I love Jesus Christ enough that I'm willing to do it till somebody else comes along. And then you can be the one that wins that somebody else to take that position. Come on now. You know, it's how we're going to make these things happen. You know, it's how we see these. Because the reality is, folks, we ain't going to always be around here. We need some of those younger people to be taught to do these kind of things that you and I do. And this man right here plays the keyboard incredibly well. But I look forward to the day where he can be right there watching somebody younger stand up here playing it. And he's young. Mike is very young. Real, real, real young. But I look forward to the day where, who is it? It's Kyler that's learning. When Kyler's up here playing. We're not that far from there. I look forward to the day where it's not John up here playing, but it's Jonathan up here playing. Or even somebody younger that's up here going, man, I want to do it just like John did. And I'm going to get up and jump around. I want to do that. Sherry, that people, young ladies looking at Sherry going, I'm going to pray just like she prays. No fear. No inhibition. Ready to go in full-fledged into it. Where, Ken, you're not helping run the sound system, but we got some young person, young lady, young man back there running it, or some new child of God, a babe in Christ that's going, man, I'm ready to serve. What can I do? What can I do? Pastor Beth, the Apostle Paul taught us well in what he said in Philippians 4:13. I can do all things through him who strengthens me. All things. And in 1 Corinthians, Paul writing in the church of Corinth said, whatever you do, do all to the glory of God. See, that's the beauty of it. When we do these things, when we minister the lives of others, we do it for the glory of God. And God receives the glory, not us. They're gracious towards us and they're thankful that we brought them to Christ. But ultimately, you and I are nothing more than a reflection upon him. King Solomon, the wisest man who ever lived, except Jesus Christ. In the Bible, taught us this in Ecclesiastes. Whatever your hand finds to do, do it with your might. All your might. Not half-heartedly, but completely. As you and I grow into 2017, we will be talking to you more and more about this, about serving in areas and ways to help build our church family. Listen, this is our church. This is what God has called us to, where together we are better. Because teamwork makes the what? Teamwork makes the dream work. The dream. You know what dream it is? It's the dream that Jesus said, I came to seek and save those that are lost. That's the dream. That's the dream. Not my kingdom or your kingdom and my this and my that. No, no, no. It's His kingdom. This is God's kingdom. I'm just privileged to come in and be a small part of it. To be a part of it. To be a part of it. We're going to accommodate the souls that God is going to entrust to us. But for today, I want us to focus on the financial aspect of this growth. Planting for our future. Planting for the future. I believe that this is the vehicle by which we shall together grow Chapel financially. And as we prepare to grow numerically. This is not a substitute to what you and I give on a weekly basis or monthly basis in our tithe and our offerings. But it's to partner with this. In conjunction with it to what you and I presently give. To what we already are so faithful about. And for in the kingdom of God. This is going to be a sacrifice. This is above and beyond. This is what Jesus talks about to the disciples. This is that second mile. Jesus said, if the Romans ask you to carry their things for 1 mile, you take it a second mile. See, this is second mile things that God is wanting us to do. But here's the beauty of it, is in the second mile, there's a second mile blessing as well. Shane Cheyenne, I won't share everything. But she's been talking to my wife about some things that God has done. And one of the things that we have talked about is in conversation is about financial things in our life and setting things up right in our life. And they have decided in their life, and they're newlyweds. They've only been married 8 months so far. So y'all pray for them. Y'all can laugh. We all needed prayer in our first year, second year, third year, 10th year, 12th year. You know, we all need prayer. Come on now. Some of y'all know about it right now. You're going, yes, I need prayer right now. Can I come be anointed right now? She needs to be anointed especially. Or she's saying, he really needs to be anointed. But they shared, and Cheyenne shared this with my wife on yesterday, I believe it was, about how God is blessing them. And in just them having decided that, look, part of our marriage is we're going to put God first. And they've put God first. And just this week, God has done some incredible things in their life that were unexpected. Blessings on their job. They got some things for free that they didn't expect. Blessings. See, that's the way God operates. God doesn't say, well, you know what, I'll let you wait for a time. There's others of us in here that could go through. So let me tell you what it looked. Because you're planting for your future. You're being faithful. And God says, I see what you're doing so I can trust you with something more. There's no substitute to being obedient to the word of God. This is over and above a stretch, a leap of faith. This is you and I doing the prayer of Jabez thing. God, enlarge my territory. God, enlarge my territory. Why? Not because I want the worship to come to me, but no, God, it'll reflect upon who you are. It'll reflect upon who you are. We believe here at Chapel in tithing. It is a scriptural principle. It is something that Jesus even talked about in the New Testament that he dealt with. When he was speaking to the people, his believers and disciples in that day. We practice in giving a tenth. Those of us here at Chapel that call this place our home, our storehouse, our church home, we sow into this church. A tithe is a tenth of what God blesses us with. This goes to support the pastoral ministry, the staff, the mortgage, the property, operation expenses, and so many other things that it does. In fact, it has been the tithe that has sustained our missions giving and projects as well as numerous events that we have throughout the year here at Chapel. Thank you for those who faithfully support Chapel financially. In fact, it is one of those events that we'll be talking about here in a moment that brought Art and Lois to Chapel North. They used to go to this church way back in the days and they weren't attending here for a season, and they drove through the parking lot one day that they were just out driving around, and we were having, I believe it was kids weekend. It was kids weekend that we were having, and the kids were all outside playing, and my wife was by the parking lot. They were driving through. She stopped them, got in the conversation. They got out walking their dog and fell in love with this place and have been here ever since. Events. They don't seem like a whole lot. It doesn't seem like much of things that are going on. But those are the things that connect people to Chapel North. After meeting and talking with our board of elders and our lead team here at Chapel, we all feel and agree to take an aggressive approach in 2017 to all that God has. In talking to our board of elders is one of the things that we talked about in order to be the church that is rooted in Christ and reaching our community. Is one of the focuses we're going to have, and what we're talking about in this planting for the future is the things that our missions here, our vision and mission here, through our annual events as well as missions here at Chapel. That what you and I and what this is focused on is the annual events. I met somebody else the other day that we can partner with in order to bless lives in other countries, a place, so many things that are going on. But God is calling us to that with an aggressive and intentional focus on the 2017 events and missions endeavors. We believe that we will better fulfill our vision and mission here at Chapel. As we focus in upon this, as we make these things something that we're going to do different than we've done in the past, God is going to entrust us with greater things. In turn, when we focus on these two things through planting for our future, this will free up funds in the general budget to focus on building update projects needed to prepare us for our next level of growth. Amen. This will prepare us for that. So on behalf of the Board of Elders and my wife and myself, here's what we propose. Phase one goal is $45,000. This is $15,000 that goes towards events, the budget for events. This is the rooted in Christ and reaching our community part. Rooted in Christ, and this is in your notes, through communion services, graduation honors, leadership meetings and annual planning summit, pastor's breakfast connects for new members here at Chapel, fresh start in new, which is our new member class, and then reaching our community through our Easter service. I don't see it hard for us to have two services on Easter. Our Christmas program and Christmas Eve service, it was our those that direct our music here, Mike and Lisa, who were saying, we're going to have to do two Christmas Eve services next year. They said that right after this last Christmas Eve service. We are anticipating that for this year. Father's Day service, Friends Day, Kids Weekend, leadership meetings and annual planning summits. Our Mother's Day service and volunteer party. Those are the things that fall under that rooted or that reaching our community part. And then 30,000 of the 45 is for missions. Global missions, which is missionary and special projects overseas. North American mission, church plants. Churches that are dealing with something here, they need to buy new chairs for it. We would be able to have the finances to send money to them to help them out. Covered International, which is a women's support ministry for those that are involved in sex trade and in sex trafficking. The Women's Clinic of Columbus, which is a pro-life clinic here in Columbus. Surf projects like we did at Thanksgiving and at Christmas. Benevolence, it's times of helping people when there's been a death in their family by providing food for them, by providing different things. It's when illness hits them, when there's a crisis and we can respond to that crisis in their life. And then phase two of the goal is $100,000, which is our parking lot. Redoing our parking lot. Every one of you, all the funds that would exceed our first goal, which is phase one, would roll over into phase two. In discussing with our Board of Elders, we felt that phase two is an imperative goal and a phase because, as you can see, when you pull into the parking lot here at Chapel, the need is there for repairs in the parking lot. And here at Chapel, we always strive for excellence in our first impression. We want people to come into this place and drive onto this property, and the first impression they get is a good impression. However, we have not moved on the project yet because we want to make sure that we are financially responsible and not take on an unnecessary debt. As I stated last week, the only debt that we here at Chapel have is this building and this property. We have no credit cards. We don't have any other kind of debt. That van that sits out there was paid for. The only thing we have as a debt is this building right here. We believe, as the Board of Elders and pastors here at Chapel, that the what is needed in order for us to do what it is that God is calling us to do as a church is in this house, is right here amongst us. That you and I can do it individually and corporately, coming together for that in order to make these things happen. These commitments that you have here, and you'll see the commitment form at the bottom of this sheet. It's for 1 year. It's for 2017. Any commitments that have been made prior to this, to when we did it in the old building, and thank you to those of you that have continued to be faithful with that. Those things are not going to be concluded in this unless you feel by God to include that in it. But this is going to be a thing, commitment that we are going to make for 1 year. We would like for you to take this commitment card with you today and over the next week of consecration to pray over this to see what God leads you to. We're not asking for these to be turned in today. We're not asking for you to fill this out right now, but asking you to take it, and over the next week, between now and next Sunday, that you would get on your face before God and ask God for direction. Because this is a God thing. This is something that God is wanting us to do. And next week we're going to come back with our commitment cards ready for next week. And together we're going to sow into the vision and mission of Chapel North for this year. And I'm confident, I believe with all of my heart, without a shadow of a doubt, that we will see and experience the far-reaching efforts of our sacrifice before God. Amen. Amen. We can't function as a church and do the things that God has called us to without finances. To the business owners that are in here, if people don't pay their bills, you have to shut the doors. If you don't work a job, you don't get a check, and it doesn't happen. It's the same way with the church. These lights, the heat, the air conditioning, these instruments, all this kind of stuff happens because what we as a church do in supporting it. And so here today, and I'm closing, Mike, if you would come. I'm asking if you would join me in looking at Habakkuk once again, if you would put that up for me. And I'm going to break this down and talk about a few of these points in closing. And then God answered, write this, write what you see. I see financial growth. As my wife would say, the word that has been ringing so strongly in her life over the last few weeks is bountiful. Bountiful finances, bountiful blessings in our life. Not just finances, but bountiful things that God is wanting to do for you and I in this place. To reach our community with first class events here at Chapel. This brochure that is right here and everything that goes to print is done by Randy. He lays it out and does such a beautiful job. Because we want people to look at things that come from Chapel and they're like, wow, man, that's sharp. It's not, you know, the copy and paste stuff. It's not, what was the old stuff we used to use? What is it? Clip art. We don't want to do clip art. That's so 1980s, 70s, 60s, 50s, 40s, maybe even 90s in some, for some of us. But that's so yesterday and so old. But looking at this, and I saw this, and we pulled out, we have in storage some of the old ones we had, and looking at this, it was a trifold. We have it. It was on shinier paper and all this kind of stuff. And then when Randy sent this one to us, we're like, what? I mean, this is just so cool. But to present these things to people, to be done in the best way. I see financing, sustaining a growth in missions, giving, and projects like we've not seen here yet. Just contacted by somebody that was asking if we would be interested in joining them in a trip to Nicaragua in March. I'm going, whoa, when? In March. They're building a high school down there that's going to have a church connected to it, where they're going to be part of a ministry called One Child Matters, where they minister to the body, the soul, and the spirit of every child, ultimately to minister to the life of the parents. There's a pastor on site with the church and a school that a school in in Tennessee has raised over $30,000 to build this high school there. To minister to the lives of these kids. You want to change life? John, Sherry, go walk on a tin roof when it's hot as all get out. And Sherry, you don't want anybody else to help you. Go play soccer with little kids you don't know. You can't speak their language, yet you walk away impacted. You build a home for an 80-something-year-old man. You're not building him the Taj Mahal. It's 4x4 posts on the corners. That's 4x4. Usually tend to be a little bigger than that. They're 2x4s, which really are 3x5s that are not dried wood. They're heavy as all get out. And you put this up and you put tin around a building and windows in it. And the old man is sitting there crying on how grateful he is that you just built him the best home he's ever had in all of his 80 years of life. You know what he stores his clothes in? A 1970s round refrigerator without the doors on it. That's his storage. Or a suitcase that the mission that you're a part of gives him to put his clothes in. Where you use your talents and abilities, and if Matt Johnson was in here, he broke a brand new knife I had in by slicing his hand open and trying to peel a wire that was hot to make sure that this little old house did not burn down. It's doing something for people that they'll never be able to do anything for you again. That's what we're talking about. You know what? And I know, I'm aware of the time, but you know what I'd love to see? I'd love to see Chapel North have a mission somewhere in another country that we support 100%. We've got a pastor there and we have a church there. It's called Chapel North, wherever that's at. It's possible. It's possible. There's some of you in this room right now that have a call of God to missions on your life, but you've been running from it. But it's possible that you go over and Craig was telling me about a gentleman who's in the area right now, back on furlough, raising money to go back to Angola. And Craig went and visited where he was and they bought him an ambulance so that he could do ministry. And wherever he's at, he said it's not dangerous and bad enough for him. He wants something even worse than where it's at. A North American that's willing to give up his comfort to go to a country that could be war-torn, tribal conflict. People are killing each other. They're arresting believers. They're killing believers. They're doing all this kind of stuff. You and I could be a part of something like that. That when we make it to heaven, not only is our family going to be around us, but you're going to have people that don't look like you, don't speak the same language as you, but yet when you get to heaven, you're speaking the same language, you're standing in the presence of the same God. That's what I'm talking about. Missions. Janet's already come to us. Cahill, new member here at Chapel. It's already came to us going, hey, I want to do something I used to do in my old church here at Chapel that involves all kinds of cool stuff. She said, I'll head it up. I'll bring the people in. I'll make it happen. That's what I'm talking about right here. To where we minister to lives and, you know, we're supporting churches that have planted all over. There's people in other cities that have come to Christ because of what you give. Guess what that does? In heaven, God sees that, says, all right, another jewel for their treasure. Another crown because of what they've done. No, you're not living in a bigger house and no, you're not driving a better car. But guess what? When you get to heaven, God's going to say, hey, come in. I want you to see what I've got prepared for you because of what you've done on earth. I see two services here at Chapel. Man, I've been talking about it. I've been feeling it so strongly that God's been pushing us. I see it. I see it. We're writing it down. We're visualizing it. He says, write it on big block letters so that you can read it while you're on the run. I want our vision, our dream here at Chapel, rooted in Christ, reaching our community, to be read on the run. And we know it and we believe it. Becky, I met her this morning. She drove by and last week she wrote on a piece of paper, whatever she wrote it on, that she was going to be here at Chapel on this Sunday. Thank you for being here at Chapel today. There are more Beckys out there that are looking for a church home. There are more people out there that are going, I need a place like that. I need to grow. That we all together invested in both time, talent, and treasure into what God is doing. Working and giving for the greater cause. That when our neighbors, our friends, our family, and community come to Chapel, they will be met by a beautiful building. Driving on a beautiful parking lot. That there will be room for them here at Chapel. There will be a place where their tired, weary, and thirsty soul can sip from the cool waters of the Holy Spirit. This vision, the Bible says in verse 3, this message is a witness pointing to what's coming. It aches for the coming. It can hardly wait. Shauna, Friday night, God almost, you were right there. The power of God was all over you. He's not done yet. I told her when we baptized Farrah, she's next. Not trying to put you on the spot or nothing, but here's the spotlight. There's more Shaunas and Farrahs and Carlys that need a place, single mothers that need a home where they can come, that they're not going to be looked at in a wrong way because they're single mothers. No, where we can come together like we did on Friday night and we'll surround her and she comes in, she goes, man, excuse me, and I apologize for using this word. She said, my butt's been kicked today. And whereas a family, we gathered around her and said, we're going to pray for you. We've got more people out there that are needing that. They can come in and drink from this. Our bodies, our souls ached for it, to see people repent and experience God through baptism of water and of spirit, filled with the Spirit of God. Let us ache to see that. And it doesn't lie, the Bible says. If it seems slow in coming, wait. It's on its way. It will come right on time. Chapel, you're an amazing church. You're an amazing group of people. Your work ethic is next to none. My wife said it about Exhilarate when they do the ladies thing here. People are blown away by how many volunteers are in here and the energy. The year before last when we did it, we all crammed in front of the sign and did it. This last year we had to go outside because we couldn't fit. There's over 60 of us volunteering here to make that happen for the wonderful ladies, not only of Chapel North, but of many others. Your generous investment of time, talent, and treasure, your transition to this new facility over 3 years ago. You have been so kind, so patient. We're growing. We're seeing awesome things happen here. The spirit of Chapel is contagious. We've got to keep sharing it in our neighborhoods and our communities. We can't lose heart. We have to be willing to make the sacrifice that God is asking us to do, to take a leap of faith. Brother Herb Ridgeway said it. It was a leap of faith that we took from there to here. It's a leap of faith that we have to take from here to there as a body of believers, as a family. And watch God give the increase. Watch God do the supernatural. Israel missed out on entering into the promised land early on, because they listened to 10 negative voices within. What you and I deal with on a daily basis is not the outside voices, but the inside voices. Some of us already took this right here and looked down the list and go, whew, man, $45,000, that's impossible. Quit listening to the inside voice. Because seated on these pews right now, within this place, there's some in here that God's already talking to you about doing this. I believe that we're going to see come in more than the $45,000 that we need. I believe it. I had a dream many years ago that somebody's going to walk in these doors one day and write out a check to completely pay this church off. I believe it's going to happen. But you know why that's going to happen? Because we here at Chapel North do what God has called us to do. Because we're faithful. Because we're good stewards with our finances. The internal voices. Listen to me very closely. You and I are going to walk into our promised land. We're not going to listen to the 10 spies that say, man, the giants are huge. Man, two services? Whew, that's a lot. Man, that's a lot of things to do. That we're gonna do all these kind of things and go on mission trips. Man, that's impossible. It is not impossible. If you can see it, you can. Shane, you can see it, you can have it. You see it, you can have it. But you gotta see it, you gotta write it down. So here's what I'm asking us to do. The closing moments, I'm asking if everyone would stand, please. We're going to take this home this week, and I'm going to close in prayer for all of us. That this week that we would seek direction from God on what we are to do. There's weekly, monthly, and annually. On the seed card, you see the information on there. There's all the stuff that's needed there on it. And next week, we're going to come, and we're going to spend a moment in presenting these before God. You have debt that you want to pay off. You know how you do that? You give your way to paying yourself out of debt. You want God to pour out blessings upon those things? Then show God how He can trust you with what He's already given you. It's the way it works. It's just the way it is. There's people here right now that I could call on that every time they write their check for their tithe and they're giving here at Chapel, in that memo line, they write the purpose behind it. Debt payoff. That check is not going there. That check is going to the kingdom of God. But things are being paid off. Things are being taken care of. You want health in your body? You want your kids to come back to Him? Do what God has called us to do, commanded us to do. Because as we show God that we can, that we're giving back to Him what He has entrusted unto us, God goes above and beyond to do for our lives what only He can do. In Jesus' name. Heavenly Father, the fact that You've trusted us is huge. That You look at our lives and say, man, I want to do so many awesome things through You and bless Your life and strengthen Your life so that in turn You can bless others. God is humbling, truly humbling. And so right now, Lord God, I ask that as we leave this place and we take this planting for the future form with us, that God, we would spend time this week in seeking Your direction, in finding, God, what it is that You want us to do. Not only that, but to someone in this room right now that may be far away from You, God, today You're asking them to surrender their life to You. To once again put their faith, if they have in the past, to put their faith, to once again, God, seek You in repentance and in belief and giving their life back to You who it belongs to. That God, we not leave this place today the same way we came in, but leave different. So Lord, I ask that Your anointing rest upon us throughout this week as we, God, commit ourselves to You through prayer and fasting, pushing away some things that we enjoy a whole lot, maybe coffee, some food items, some different things, God, that we don't need to participate in, but we need to sacrifice that unto You. God, let Your word be strong in us that we would write that vision down. That those that have not received that word for this year yet would find it over the next few days as we continue our days of consecration. That they would get a vision for their own life, God. What it is they want to do, they would write it down and make it plain in the name of Jesus Christ. Protect us as we go our way today. Let Your angels be round about us. In the name of Jesus Christ we pray. And everyone says amen. Amen. If you weren't here last Sunday, go by, pick up one of the forms for last week's handout. Listen to the message. Write it down. God's got great things for us. Thank you so much for being here. God bless you. Go in the grace and mercy of God. Look for an opportunity this week to touch someone's life. In Jesus' name. God bless. And parents, don't forget. Rise, parents. You're needed in the Student Center for a quick tag in with Pastor Robbie. Pastors Robbie and Whitney, they're going to talk to us about some awesome things that are coming.